Ruth chapter number one. We were going to continue on in our stewarding life for another week or two, but the Lord kind of led me to teach and preach about this today. We might have another stewarding life message next week. Remember, it was different than the things that you would think about in stewarding your life. We found them in the book of Luke about don't waste your life away by worrying, and talk about don't waste your life away by fearing man more than God, and all those different things we found in Luke. Don't waste your life away by caring so much about possessions. Ruth chapter number one, you remember, I don't know how many years ago, but it was a number of years ago, we went through the book of Ruth on a Wednesday night, and I was at the youth conference with our young people this past week, and it was wonderful. Thank you for all those that helped give towards that, and the Lord just kind of reminded me of some things, and I guess he led me to speak about bitterness this morning. When you look at, there's different examples that are found in the Bible concerning bitterness. Naomi is one of the great examples because you can learn a lot from her life. There's a lot told about what made her bitter, how her bitterness affected others, and how she got over her bitterness. And as I was sitting at the youth conference or standing or whatever it was during that time, I went there, I watched and I listened to, they did something, they always do unique things because they got to keep the kids' attentions. But one of the things they did this year, they talked about some young people that came up and gave their testimony. I'm guessing the one was probably in their early 20s and the one was 15. And they talked about the different things that they had been bitter about their life and how God used individuals and circumstances to get rid of that bitterness. The 21 or 22-year-old one actually was someone who actually, as a child, her father, who was Arabic, forced their mother to move over to the country of Jordan, and they were trapped there for a number of years because they couldn't leave that area until the father had given permission. And she talked about the bitterness she had and different things like that, but also talked about how she was forced to become a Muslim, and even when she came to America, that Christianity was introduced to her a number of times, and she kept on pushing it away, but how that, when she became a Christian and when she became saved, and the different circumstances that helped her get over her bitterness. And the same thing with the other young lady that gave her testimony at the age of 15, talked about how her and her parents and how the struggles that her parents had, and because of the parents' struggles and the abusive family that she lived in and different places she had to be bounced around to, but how God had helped her and dealt with that. And I think bitterness is something we all have probably struggled with one way or another in the past. And I also think that if you are not dealing with bitterness, because many times when someone deals with bitterness, they would tell you they're not bitter. They do it usually angrily. I'm not bitter. You ever had anybody tell you that? It's, I've heard it many a times. But also you're dealing with someone who's bittered. And so in the lesson today, I'd like to look at not just number one, Naomi that was bitter, but I like to think about Ruth as being one of the reasons that helped her get over her bitterness. So if you want to say, hey, I'm not bitter, I know people were bitter, well then try to be a Ruth than a Naomi. Because and God uses Ruth and her and Naomi's life. You know, what does Naomi try to do? She tries to push him away. She says, don't want to have you. They go away. Go back home. Go back to your Moabite gods. And then Ruth's like, no, I'm staying here with you. And then not only does that, but you see her. She gets there. They're in Bethlehem. It's a little town, and you know there's things that need to be done. She has lost, and once again, she's dealing with the loss of her own husband. She's in a strange place around strange people that are probably looking at her, wondering what that Moabitess woman who was not supposed to be there is doing there. And she's going to all these things, but you see how God provides and how God provides and how God provides. And as that example helps bring Naomi out of this bitterness. And we're going to, but that's towards the end of the message. I like to look here for a little bit about this story. Since we went over it a number of years ago in the book of Ruth, we cannot tell the whole story because of time's sake, but there are some points here I think that are important to bring out. We're going to look at three questions. How did Naomi become bitter, or how did she become bitter? Second thing is, how did her bitterness affect herself and others? Thirdly, how she got over her bitterness, because that's what we're really interested in. Is how to get over it, because there's a lot of people that have holding on to things and holding on to hardships and bitterness in their life, and we really need to lay that down. And this coming year is a great year. You know, tomorrow is 2018, and people talk about things that they remember in the past, things they want to forget, things they want to stop doing, and things that they want to reach forward to in the future. I think one of the greatest things we can lay down is that chain and that bondage of bitterness that hold so many people so tight. And so I think the Lord truly led this to a message this morning, and I really believe it's intended for all of us, but it specifically, I think the Lord laid it upon my heart, and I don't know for who, but I know it helped me when I was thinking about it and praying and studying it. I'll remind you of a verse first before we get started, Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, so here's a couple things about that verse. You know, we're supposed to look diligently at what? Lest any man fail the grace of God. God has given us grace. You know, many times we think in Naomi, you're going to see here, she's saying, look, God has dealt bitterly with me. God has not dealt kindly with me. God has done this to me and God has done that to me. You know what? She has missed the fact that God's grace was still available to her. And looking daily, lest any man fail the grace of God. And if we allow our lives to be wrapped up, and if we don't steward our lives properly, and we are stuck in this bitterness, you know what's going to happen? We're going to fail the grace of God. God's given us grace, Lord, to be able to live by. And that's, he's given us grace to be saved by, but he also gives us living grace that we can have victory over. And then it says, lest any root of bitterness, as we, if we lose focus off the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Unless, if we let the root of bitterness, and we don't have time to explain what a root is and how, what it does and accomplishes, but it will spring up in your life and it will trouble you, it says, and thereby many be defiled. So I know we're going to have to move pretty quickly this morning to cover all the stuff we want to cover in this story, but we're going to go to Ruth chapter number 1. We're going to look at verses 19 through 22. Ruth chapter number 1, verses 19 through 22. We have, in this story here, Naomi and Ruth are now heading back home. To give you a little background, Naomi's husband chose to leave Bethlehem probably about 10 years earlier, and they chose to leave Bethlehem to go to Moab. That was against the law. They were not supposed to do that. There was a famine. But instead of trusting in God and believing in God and saying God is going to take care of us, they decided to go where they thought was the better spot, which was in Moab. We've just got through the book of Judges. And what did people do in the book of Judges many times? They did that what was right in their own eyes. So they looked at that and they saw that, and he looked over there and says, times are tough here, times are hard here, and because times are tough and times are hard, we're going to leave Bethlehem, we're going to make this choice, and then we're going to head on over to Moab, and as we head over to Moab, we'll stay there for a little while, and then we'll go back. They make a very bad mistake. While there, obviously they would have never known that, but while there, Naomi's husband passes away, and his name is Elimelech. Not only does Naomi's husband pass away, he died, and she's left with just her two sons, and that can cause bitterness. But not only that, after they died, the boys, it says in verse number 4, took them wives of the women of Moab. Now, they didn't learn from their past mistakes, because just before the book of Judges, there was a great judgment to people who took women to be married to Moab. I think over 24,000 people in the nation of Israel were killed because they intermarried with Moab. They were not supposed to do that, so they leave God's plan for them in Bethlehem. They leave the place of safety. In a sense, we used it back in the, if you remember a few years ago when we talked about Ruth, they left God's plan, God's house, and they left to go somewhere else. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, in verse number 3 says, died. In verse number 5, and Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. So she loses her husband, which is, I'm sure, a devastating thing. Then she loses her two sons. Then she hears a good report about what's going on in Bethlehem, and they say back in Bethlehem that God has visited them, and the famine was over, and they had plenty, and the bread was there. So they decide to go back to Bethlehem, and in verse number 19, she's entering into the town. You think about it, as they enter into the town, Bethlehem is not like a major metropolis like Elizabeth City is. It's not like it's Raleigh, or it's not like it's Chesapeake. It's, you know, it's a small town probably at that point in time. And so when these two people are entering into Bethlehem, they're taking a look at it. They're going out and they're seeing these two people coming in. They're seeing, there's one that is a Moabitess, and that's her. And they see the other one there, and they're looking and saying, is this Naomi? Is this Naomi? And look what it says in verse number 19. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem, And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. So you see, everybody comes out to look at them. Isn't that nice? Everybody comes. You're traveling. You've been walking for a long time. They come out and they see who it is that's coming to the town. And they said, is this Naomi? When I think about this, I look at that and I'm thinking, that's not really a nice thing to ask. You know, obviously this bitterness and this aging process has aged her a lot. She looks different. The word Naomi actually means the word pleasant. I think that she used to probably had a pleasant look on her face. And you're going to see here in a little while why I think she even had a pleasant attitude for a period of time while in Moab. But Naomi, it's a weird question, but it's even a stranger response. Look what it says in verse number 20. And she said unto him, call me not Naomi. And they're thinking, well, you don't want me to call your name? And she's saying, I don't want you to call me that pleasant person that you knew. She said, call me Mara. Now, Mara here is an interesting word. It actually means the word bitter. And in this passage of scripture here, it's the only spot that is found in the Bible, that specific word. It is the root word that people talk about for bitterness. When we think about when the nation of Israel came out of Egypt and they found to that spot and that area, that water that was bitter, and God helped sweeten that water, that's where you get that derivative, that name. It says, call me Mara. Now look at the reason why she says, I don't want you to call me pleasant. I don't want you to think that I'm happy, but instead, I am bitter. And I want the world to know that I'm bitter. To be honest with you, if you're bitter, you don't have to tell the world. Many times they already know it. They tell from your actions. And it says, call me Mara. And that's the title of this morning's message, is call me Mara. And it says, for the Almighty. Now, this word Almighty, it talks about the El Shaddai. And it talks about the comforter, the one who provides, the one who takes care of the nation of Israel and takes care of his children. For the Almighty have dealt very bitterly with me. And she blames God. She says, the Almighty has done this to me. I used to be pleasant. I used to serve God. I used to have a pleasant atmosphere and a pleasant. Once again, back in Bible times, the names were important and they were give you a name based off of what they were hoping, that person would be like. But she's saying, I don't want to be called pleasant anymore. I'm Mara and God did this to me. It is God's fault. Now look at this in verse number 21. I went out full, and the Lord have brought me home again empty. Being bitter will always cause you to have a wrong perception. Now, why did they leave in the first place? They left Bethlehem in the first place. Why? Because they felt like they were empty. Now that she's lost her sons and she's lost her husband, that she was saying, now she's saying, I used to be full back then. I was happy back then, but they had left. It messes with your perception here. And now she's saying, now I'm empty. And if they would have realized they were full back in Bethlehem, they would have never left. So I went out full, and the Lord have brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord have testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley season harvest. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dearly Father, Lord, help us today. Lord, I know that you've been working in my heart and my life about wanting to help those that are bitter and also making sure there's no bitterness in my heart. Lord, we live in a day and a time where there's so many people that are angry and so many people that are bitter, so many people that even Christians and believers that are not bearing the fruits of the Spirit. Lord, help us not just look upon them as people who, man, that's their problem, but instead help us to see how Ruth responds to Ruth responds to her mother-in-law's bitterness and how she responds by helping bring her mother-in-law out of this, by letting God use them. Lord, I know there's probably people in this room that have real heartaches and have real issues and have real hardships. And sometimes we like to just keep them inside and we don't want to complain, which I believe we shouldn't murmur, but we also don't want to deal with it. Lord, help us to deal with that bitterness and lay it down today. And Lord, also for us in the room that maybe say, hey, honestly, before the Lord, that I don't have any bitterness or any hard feelings toward God or another person, help us to live a life that would be sincere and that would be godly, and that would be interested in helping those that are struggling with this issue. Thank you for this story. Thank you for this great story. Help us to look at this and learn some things from it. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a pretty simple message this morning. Because of doing it quickly, there all the letters do not match like they do sometimes. But I think you'll get the point. Point number one is, we're going to ask this question, how did she become bitter? How did she become bitter? Or why was she bitter? And the first thing I want you to think about, people become bitter because of bad decisions. Because of bad decisions. Sometimes it's even because of someone else's bad decisions. Now, bitterness is the circumstances that we have in our life. You say, well, that's the root of bitterness. No, it's how we respond to those circumstances. It's how we respond to the circumstances God gives us. Because we can see one person that deals with one issue and they respond with a joyful and a spiritual and a heart of forgiveness and a heart of wanting to help and a heart of making things right. And you see someone else that will hold on to something, and it's how you respond to it. You know, because something happens in our life doesn't make it a sin, but when we respond to it in the wrong way, that is what we're held accountable for, and that is what a sin is. I want you to think about for a second, why did she become bitter? I want you to think, number one, it's because of a bad decision, and I think it was a bad decision for them to leave Bethlehem and head on over to Moab. Why is that? Because in the Bible, it talks about it. I've been reading through the book of Deuteronomy in my morning time Bible reading, and I read it just recently where it talked about, you know, God didn't choose them because they were the biggest people. God didn't choose them because they were the strongest. They were the fewest in number, but God loved them, and that's why God chose the nation of Israel. And as God loved them, God began to give them laws, and God began to give them commandments, and God began to say, if you want a life that is blessed, this is what you need to do, and this is what you need to do, and this is what you need to do. And he says, this is the right life. This is the life that's going to be a blessing. And one of those rules was, do not leave to go to another nation. You know, do not give up. Stay where God had planted you. Put yourself there. And do not marry people from other nations. Get rid of those gods. When you come into the promised land, destroy all those gods. And we know this is right during the time of the judges. So it wasn't it was after they had conquered the promised land. And if they had driven out all the Moabites, it wouldn't have been an issue. But here we see they make a bad choice. Now, I was reading and looking and studying, and some commentators think that Naomi was okay with the choice. Some commentators think Naomi probably didn't like the choice, but she went with her husband because that's what she was supposed to do. So whether it was she was a part in the bad decision or whether or not it was somebody else's bad decision, the point was she is bitter right now, and she is angry at God, and she is blaming God for either her bad decision, her part in the bad decision, or someone else's bad part in the decision. You say, Pastor, what are you getting at? I tell you, people around us are going to make bad decisions sometimes. Sometimes people are going to choose not to do right, and sometimes people are going to choose to do things that is wrong to you, and they're going to do things that are abusive to you. I listened to those testimonies from those girls, and I thought, you know, even though they were not preaching a message, God spoke to my heart that all around us, there's people that are hurting. All around us, there are people that are dealing with real issues and real circumstances, and they need the love of Christ, and they need to see that God loves them. They need to see how to respond, and they need the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they need to see some sincere, godly Christians that will come alongside them and live like Christ would and treat them the way that Christ would. And I see Naomi here, and she is bitter, and she is angry with God, and it's because of the bad decisions they made. Be careful that your bitterness is not because of your bad decisions you've made. Secondly, be careful if your bitterness is because of somebody else's bad decision. It's going to happen. People are going to make bad choices. People are going to make bad decisions. Sometimes that even affects you, but in all reality, it's how you respond to them. I like I said, those two girls, when they give testimony, the one girl that was took all the way to Jordan at the age of 3, the country Jordan, and she was there and forced to become a Muslim and became a Muslim, became a good Muslim girl. She said because her mother was American, because her father was Arabic, that she would get beat up in school. Her teachers would even hit her because of the fact that she was American. And she just talked about how all these things added up and added up and added up. And that's the second point is, not only is it because someone else's bad decision, secondly, people become bitter is because of several catastrophes that might happen in a row. Because of several catastrophes that might have happened, or someone makes a bad decision. But sometimes people become bitter because of several catastrophes. We looked at it already in verse number 3 in chapter number 1. Elimelech dies. Verse number 5, Mahlon and Chilion, they die. These are not things that we should just look over and say, oh, that shouldn't hurt. They should just buck up and not worry about it. No, these things hurt. But how do we respond to these things is the question. God is working here, and God is working in their hearts and lives. God is working in Naomi's life. God is trying to bring them back to the place where they're supposed to be at. And we don't know if it's there's some type of sickness here. We don't know if some type of, we don't know what exactly happens and what causes these deaths, but there was a bad choice. But then you see catastrophe happen when Elimelech died. Elimelech made the decision, if we're going to leave here for just a little while, it was a bad decision because of the fact he does not know what's going to happen next. Elimelech says, well, maybe we'll go over here for a year or two. And while he's here, he dies. He doesn't know what's going to happen next. That's why we should stick with the word of God, because we don't know what's going to happen next. Elimelech probably in his own reasoning, remember, they did what was right. They did what was right in their own eyes, in their own reasoning. It's better for my family over here. But it's a bad decision because God is saying, you're supposed to be here. And it's, we got to depend on God because God knows the beginning from the end. God knows what's going to happen next. Elimelech would have never left probably Bethlehem if he knew that he was going to die a few years later. I think their intention was to go back. I think their intention was to get back to Bethlehem when things became a little bit easier, things became a little bit better. But they're there. The two boys are there. And what do? They see these Moabitess women. They decide to marry Orpah, and then also Ruth. You say, well, Pastor, you know, good things happen of that. Well, that's thanks for the grace of God, but it made her bitter. So we see a bad decision, but then we see catastrophe after catastrophe after catastrophe happens. And what does Naomi do? She blames God. Is that easy to do? Well, if things keep on going bad and things keep on going bad and things keep on going bad, yes, it's easy to blame. Got to find somebody to blame. It can't be the fact that we left Moab. It can't be that. It has to be God. And she... And so I want you to see the third thing is the reason why sometimes people become bitter is because someone's bad decisions because of several catastrophes in a row, but also she was separated from other believers. She was separated from other believers. In Bethlehem, she had a teaching priest. In Bethlehem, she had people who believed in the one true God. In Bethlehem, there was at least Boaz. I know it's a dark time in Israel this time, and probably there weren't a lot of people living for God, and there probably weren't a lot of people that were serving God, but there was some. We see Boaz in the responses in chapter number 2 that, you know, how he depends on the Lord and how he responds to his workers and his workers respond to him. But we see here that she's separated from that. Over here, what does she have? She has her husband, she has her two boys, but then she's surrounded by Moabites. And she's surrounded by the Moabites' gods. And she's surrounded, he says, well, that doesn't have to affect you. Well, in the end, they allow their boys to marry them. And so, I mean, something affected them, something affected those boys' hearts. So it's important to realize a person's going to become bitter sometimes because of bad decisions. It could be a bad decision you've made and you're not happy with how God responded. It could be a bad decision someone else made that you had no control over. But guess what? How are you going to respond to what happens is the question. Next thing is because of the fact that catastrophes happen, but you can't separate yourself from God's house and God's people. I like to think about it. You know, the church is important. God's word is important. God's people is important. Many times a bitter person will say, I don't have anything to do with anybody. They push everybody else away. That's what Naomi's going to try to do here in a second. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to hear. Saying that you don't want to go to church when there's problems going on and when catastrophes are happening in your life is saying that you don't want to go to the doctor when you're sick. You know, you need to go to the doctor when you're sick or when an emergency happens and you get a gunshot wound or a broken leg or a stab and you realize things are bad or happened, but I don't want to go to the emergency room. The emergency room is a place where you get the help. And I believe when a person is going through a hard time and person is going through struggles, they need to be near God's people. They need to have the influence of godly people. They need to have the influence of the preaching and teaching of God's word. They need to be around the people. She has separated herself. Elimelech has separated his family from other believers. And the reason why she gets bitter is, number one, is because of someone's bad decision and because of several catastrophes, but also because they have separated themselves from the people who believe and trust in the same God. If you're going through a hard time, then sometimes I call people and I text people and I talk to people. Hey, we've missed you in church the last few weeks. And the response is, hey, I'm going through a really hard time. And my response is, that's why you need to come to church. That's where you're going to find the help. I can only talk for me. I can only testify. That's where I get the help I need. And so don't separate yourself from the believers. Second thing, I know we got to move quickly here, and it's because of time, is not only how did she become bitter, think about this question. How did her bitterness affect others? Remember that verse we talked about, affect herself and others. looking diligently lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many to be defiled. Think about how it affects yourself. And I already alluded to this, but I want you to look here and think about how her perception has changed. Look what it says in verse 21. I went out full, and the Lord have brought me home again empty. And you think about it, why did Elimelech leave? It's because they didn't believe they had enough. They didn't believe that God could take care of them. They felt like they were empty and he had to provide for his family. That's why he left. Now, Naomi is coming back and she's saying something completely different. I left full. I had a son, sons, and I had a husband, everything, and I had God and I had God's people. I left full and now I'm empty. But who's standing right next to her? It's this Moabite woman. She doesn't say, God's taking everybody away from me except for this woman. No, she doesn't even recognize God's blessing. She doesn't even recognize God's grace. And you see in the chapter number 2 here how hard Ruth works and Ruth's spirit and Ruth's attitude and her humility and all those things, how she was determined to learn about the true God and determined to do. You know what? Bitterness will blind us from God's blessings. It will have us have the wrong perception of who God is and what God is doing and the blessings and grace that God offers us. We have sometimes so much that God offers us, the grace of God, the so many blessings, and so many times we walk around, we're empty. I'm empty. I need to go to the world. I need to do this. I'm empty. That's what bitterness will, it will affect you. But also, how did our bitterness affect others? Go back to chapter number 1, and I want you to see here the story as she's leaving. It says in verse number 6, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, and for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughter-in-laws with her. Now the two daughters go with it. It's the two daughters' responsibility to help take care of the mother-in-law here. And they went on the way to return into the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each of you to her mother's house, and the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. She says, look, you have dealt kindly with me. You've done good with me. Now go ahead and go back home. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. So we see here that they turn around and they talk about wanting to stay. They're responding to that and they're saying, Naomi, you've been good to us in verse number 10. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. So they're saying, no, we're going to stay. Verse number 11, and Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there not yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husband? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? So she's making this case. She's saying, you do not need to come with me. Would you stay for them from having husbands? Talking about from an infant, how old they were. Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me. Now look what's grieving her. It grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. She's not grieved over the sins. She's not grieved over the fact she left Bethlehem. She's grieved on the fact the way that God has responded to them. She is trying to turn them away. She is telling them to return and go back to their homes and go back to their gods. It says in verse number 14, and they lifted up their voice and wept, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. So how does this affect others? Some people think their bitterness doesn't hurt anybody. Then we don't think the Bible is true. The Bible says that it doesn't say some are defiled, many be defiled. And the people that are closest to us and the people that are nearest to us, the people we want to help the most, those are the people we're defiling by holding on to bitterness. That's why I'm saying it's important to let this go and let things go and give it over to God and let God do the judging and let God take care of the things, because we hurt others. You think about it. These young ladies love Ruth. These young ladies love Naomi. They're willing to return unto her country. They already lost their own husbands. They've lost their father-in-law. And Naomi gives her the chance and says, look, you guys go ahead and go back home. They weep over it. It's a kind gesture. She's saying, I can take care of myself. Your responsibility taking care of me is done. It's gone. I'll do take care of it. So these are girls who are wanting to take care of Naomi, willing to leave their own homes, willing to leave their own lands. You say, what's the big deal? Well, what's in Israel? The one true God. What's in Moab? False gods. So what Naomi has a chance to do here is to bring them back and be able to help them understand who the one true God is. And you say, why in the world would these girls be nice to Naomi? See, I don't think she was always this bitter. I think at a point in time, she was pleasant and she was kind to them. How did Ruth say, hey, what is Ruth's response in verse number 15 is? Verse 16, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. She had to hear about the one true God somehow. And I think it was probably from Naomi at one point in time, when she was pleasant, when she was someone who loved God, when she was someone who was not bitter with God. These girls wanted to help Naomi. They liked Naomi, even though they told her to go home. How does it affect? Many times our bitterness pushes people away. Many times our bitterness is a horrible example to others. And our testimonies are ruined because we're holding on to things. And because of that, we're not bringing people to Christ. Like Naomi could have come back and they could have learned about the one true God and they could have been a part of that. No, no, no. They're saying, no, return home. I can't help you. And the reason why they can't help them is because God is not helping them, because they're holding on to something. Third thing I want you to see here, how does she become bitter? Second thing is, how does her bitterness affect herself and others? And the last question is, how does she get over her bitterness? How does she get over her bitterness? A couple things here, and I know we got to move quickly. Number one is she got to the right spot. She started going back to Bethlehem, where she knew she had to be. She was still bitter, but she was in a spot where God could start working and move. Make sure you're in the right spot. Next thing is God uses a sincere, godly individual to help her. You read chapter number 2. Look, will you start there? And Naomi had a kinsman, her husband, a mighty man of wealth of the, verse number 1, and family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I might find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. So back in Bible times, when it was harvest season, they were commanded not to reap the corners, so that way a stranger could come in, or a poor person could come in and reap the corners. It was kind of, in a sense, a way that they can help take care of those that did not have property, and they had to go out and do their work. They couldn't hold a sign on the side of the road, we'll work for food. They had to go and they had to glean the things. But you see Ruth here, who has lost her husband, just like Naomi, and she's there. She's not bitter. She is sincere. She says, look, I'm going to go, and I'm going to do my best to work, and I'm going to do my best to provide for our family. And look how it says, in whose sight I shall find grace. She knows that she's going to need the grace of God. She knows she's going to need someone else to show her unmerited favor for her to take care of her and take care of her mother-in-law. I know some of you got to step out for the ministries, but we'll be done here in a second if you don't need to go. So God uses this woman. So she goes out and she does work. And as you go along, you see in the story, Boaz meets her, Boaz sees her, Boaz treats her with kindness, and then she goes home. When she goes home, Naomi asks her how her day was. Let's go down to verse number 13. This is Naomi says, actually, this is Ruth, and Boaz still talking, I'm sorry here. And full of purpose, she gleaned, she took it up. So she returns home in verse number 19. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? So she's asking her how her day is, sort of like when ladies like to ask people, well, how was your day? Well, if she asks a man that, they'll be good. If you ask a lady, they'll start giving the whole story, and that's what she does. And where wrought us out, blessed be that him that took knowledge of thee. And she showed the mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. Now, Naomi hears this, and we say, what's the big deal? Well, Naomi remembers something. Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. Naomi remembers something about the kinsman redeemer. And the kinsman redeemer was someone that could help raise up an heir and take care of a family if a man died without leaving children, that they would come and marry the woman, someone who's closest to the family, and marry the woman and raise up an inheritance and raise up a lineage for him. And I know we don't have time to go through all of it, but I want you to think about it. What helped her get over this was, number one, she got in the right spot. Number two, God used a sincere, godly individual. Number three, Naomi realized that scripture applied to her. It was kind of like it pieced in together and said, you know what? God didn't leave us. We do have help. There is hope. There is someone that God did not forget about us. And she began to apply the scriptures of the law and say, God didn't leave us helpless. God has sent a kinsman redeemer that is going to help take care of us. And as they help take care of us, and that's when she focuses, she takes her focus off her bitterness. She even says the word, blessed be he of the Lord. And she turns away from her bitterness and starts focusing on that redeemer. Starts focusing on what Boaz does. And what she begins then doing is telling Ruth how she can be redeemed by Boaz. And I think it's kind of interesting when we realize that scripture applies to us, and when we realize the Bible works for all of us, that our bitterness is something we can lay aside because God has given us promises like, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God has given us word telling us he can work all things together for good. Naomi clued in. It was like the light bulb went off and said, there is some help. God did not forget about us. And she took her eyes off of her problems and began to look at Boaz, her kinsman redeemer. And I tell you, when we take our eyes off of our issues and our problems and begin to look at our kinsman redeemer, which is Jesus Christ, our bitterness is something we can overcome. I know life is hard sometimes and reality is tough. And I know many of you have faced things I've never had to face yet. And I know that we walk through this life, but if we hold on to that bitterness, we're going to be like Naomi saying, I'm bitter and I want the whole world to know. We're not going to bring people to Christ. Instead, we're going to push people away. And we need to say, this coming year, I'm going to lay down this bitterness and I'm going to try to be like a Ruth. Because there are people who deal with bitterness. There are people who deal with issues. There are people that are hurting, and there are people. What we need to do is live in a way that God can bless. That's what Ruth does. She lives in a way that God can bless. Whose sight I might find grace, shall find grace. We need to live that way so God can reveal unto us and use us to point people to Christ and to the kinsman redeemer. Today, don't say, call me Mara. Instead, let's point people to Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and word of prayer.